Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast with me, Danny Pellegrino.
And me, Jenna Brister.
Hey, Jenna.
Hey, Danny.
How are you?
So good. How are you doing?
Good. I have to explain to listeners that every time we start this show, I'm listening to the theme music because I have headphones on, and you're just sort of staring at me because you're waiting for the music to end, but you don't know when the music is ending.
Yeah.
So I just...
A moment of anticipation and excitement.
It is always an edge of your seat thing.
Like,
and speaking of edge of your seat, yes. Jenna, we are covering a movie today that is going to divide our audience, I believe.
Yes, absolutely.
And it is called The Christmas Carol. Now, we have covered a couple Christmas carols. We did Diva's Christmas Carol. We did Muppet's Christmas Carol.
All-time classic.
Now, we are doing a more traditional Christmas carol starring one Mr. Jim Carrey. I'm going to play the trailer for us now, and then, Jenna, we're going to get into it.
Cool.
What if you were given a second chance to get your life right? This holiday season... The ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future.
Get away!
Will give one man that chance. This November, Walt Disney Pictures and Image Movers Digital invite you to experience the classic tale like you've never seen it before. In Disney Digital 3D and IMAX 3D.
Humbug.
Wow.
Disney's wow is right.
A Christmas Carol.
Jenna, for once, I'm glad that our listeners cannot see the trailer as we play the audio of it, because it's truly one of the most ugly movies I've ever seen in my life. And anyone
Ugliest.
Who's a big fan of this film, this is, again, the Jim Carrey version of The Christmas Carol by Disney. And if you really love this movie, please just turn off this podcast, because this is going to be one of the, I don't know if it's rare anymore, but one of the rare times where we really are going to drag.
Yeah. Oh, this
drag,
is the,
right?
It's so bad. I don't see the point in casting Jim Carrey if it's just going to be a cartoon. Because I get like it with The Grinch, which we cover every single year.
Every year.
You get his physicality, you get that, but he was so, they made him so ugly.
So ugly. And this was one of those like, weird motion capture. It was like the same technology that was used on the Polar Express. And before I get into some of the behind the scenes, because I've got lots of notes, Jenna.
Yes.
And before I give everyone some facts about this, I do want to say that we put ourselves on the line every time we record this podcast. And
we
sometimes
do.
The listeners aren't happy because these are beloved films.
Yes. I had never even heard of it because I saw it on that list of Disney Plus. I was like, hey, what's on Diz Plus this year? I never heard of it before.
Sure. I blame you for all that.
Because I keep picking terrible films.
I had somehow missed this movie. I was aware that it came out.
Yeah. I was wondering also why. I looked up the major events of 2009 and Barack Obama was just elected. So I think we were all distracted.
Right before the election year, too, it was when it was probably greenlit. So people were distracted by the upcoming election at the time.
100%. It overshadowed this nightmare that Robert Zemeckis put together.
Right. And Robert Zemeckis, you just mentioned, he's the one who directed this. And I took a list because he's someone who's directed quite a few iconic films. He did Back to the Future, Contact, Romancing the Stone, Death Becomes Her.
Forrest Gump.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, Castaway, What Lies Beneath. Okay, so these were some of his earlier films that are legendary films. I mean, you could take one out of that list and argue that it's one of the greatest films of all time. I mean, any one of those ones. Yep. But then he moved on and did, like, since I'd say probably like What Lies Beneath, which was early 2000s, he did Beowulf, which was the same technology.
I don't know if you ever all over the place.
Did you ever see the Beowulf?
No.
It was like the same technology as this.
Oh, I'll never see
it. He did Polar Express. He did this Xmas Carol. He did the new Pinocchio, which I think I might have told you was terrible. I mean, Robert Zemeckis, like, what is going on? Like, he's a brilliant filmmaker, and I hate to drag him, but, like, he was trying to push this technology on us, which does not work.
It does not.
Didn't work
no.
in the Polar Express. Does not work now.
It's
in the
haunting. It's haunting. When you and the cast in this movie is fantastic. Okay, we have Colin Firth, Gary Oldman,
Donna Hoskins, Robin Wright.
Yes, I'm like, why would you not use them as actors? Why would you make this like kind of creepy golem? Like, even the teenager cartoons had acne. Did you see that?
Jenna,
like,
when the boils? Kids came on screen, I texted you. I was like, just wait. Because I was like 20 minutes ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it came on and I gasped. I was like, that is shocking.
Yeah. No, my mouth was agape.
Yeah, totally.
It was visually appalling.
I don't know why you would do that. I just like don't. Like, Charles Dickens is dead. I'm glad for him. Because if he was alive and he saw this, he'd be like, Robert, why would you do this to my story?
And here's the thing, I do, just devil's advocate off the top, I want to say that, like, I understand the, okay, this Christmas Carol is something that's been done a million times.
Yes.
Like I said, Diva's version of it. We have a Muppets version
of it.
Muppets
is the best
ever. And so there is something to be said about taking, like, the original source material, because I think the Charles Dickens book is much darker and grimier and maybe not what the versions that we've seen thus far have been like. So I think there is some artistic merit in, like, taking, doing a straightforward version of the book and making it, like, really dark and dreary and whatever. But then this did that with animation. It's like, why not just have them live action? Like, just make it dark and grimy and make it live action R-rated. Why are we doing, like, a Disney animated?
Yeah, it does seem like something that was kind of slapped together in a technology that doesn't need to exist. Like, visually, it's not nice to watch.
No.
It's really scary, but also just not good.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
And in the trailer, they advertise about, like, the IMAX. It's, like, coming soon to IMAX. And it was very clear that this was, like, made during, you mentioned, 2009. That was the time with all that, like, 3D shit, where everything had to be fucking 3D. And you go to the theaters, and they were, like, re-releasing Finding fucking Nemo. Excuse my language.
With goggles. Remember those paper goggles you would have to wear?
Yes. Yes.
Bring
in
those
every
back.
Movie, it was like you'd go see, I don't know, Blue Valentine, and it was like 3D goggles.
It's great.
It was like,
movie.
What is this? Yeah, totally. I don't like that movie.
It's sad.
So sad.
I cried on the subway on the way back from seeing it. I was like, it's so depressing.
Wait, not to change the subject, but I do want to tell listeners to watch a movie that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Called, what was it? It's on Netflix, called Love at First Sight. Generic title.
Okay.
But it's Christmassy. It came out in September. But it's Christmassy. It's set on December 20th and December 21st.
Beautiful.
But it's not like a Christmas movie. There, but there's lots of twinkle lights, and it's set in December. And I just think thought it was so good. It's
cute.
Sort of a romantic drama, but you'll cry a lot. Reminded me sort of like Notting Hill.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought of that.
Okay.
And I just
I'll watch it. Thanks for the rec.
Whole thing. But that's the movie we should be covering.
Yes. Yeah. We'll do a spinoff.
I felt bad because I took all these notes and I did get pretty worked up watching it because I really didn't want to turn off the movie, even though everything in me wanted to turn it off. And like I was saying earlier, like, we really do put ourselves on the line every episode because these are beloved movies. So for us to be dragging a Christmas film that I know a lot of listeners probably watch every year and might like.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It was so scary. I asked my sister and she was like, I showed it to my kids, my nephews, and they were so weirded out.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't know what's happening. And I was like, see, if the youth of today doesn't even know what's happening, you know?
Who at the studio, though, saw Polar Express and was like, oh, yeah, let's do that, those character designs again. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do that again.
It
was
bone chilling.
So fucking ugly.
It's not even motion capture. You know, when they put the, like, in Lord of the Rings with Gollum?
No, I think it is motion.
It is?
It is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it looks so bad.
I know.
I
think they did that. So Jim Carrey was like acting somewhere.
Where?
But, like, let him just act then. Like, why are we animating it?
I don't think you needed to. Not with this cast, not with this story. I don't know.
The other fucking problem I have is, like, give them bigger eyes. Like, give them, we don't have to make it so realistic looking. Like, just, if we're going to animate it already, then let them be cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's so ugly. And I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the theme of our podcast this season is spooky because we've been covering like a lot of Victorian era.
Spooky. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, isn't that feel like the theme?
It does. Bleak. Yeah. Dreary. Like,
dreary. Yes. We're going to have to do something like really
exciting,
fluffy and fun.
Yes. Yeah.
It's also interesting facts. So want me to give you some other facts here. So Jim Carrey joins Vince Vaughn, Tim Allen, Will Ferrell, people who have done more than one Christmas movie, not a sequel, because of course Jim Carrey did The Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn did all those movies. Last season was our Vince Vaughn season. We covered all those movies.
That's right, we did. Yeah, we have been Vaughn heads. Yeah.
The Christmas Carol, we mentioned the cast. It made $325 million worldwide, which does seem like a lot, but it lost $50 to $70 million, and it forced Disney's head of marketing to resign.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
No, there is...
That's hilarious.
I wrote in my notes, it looks like a PS3 game.
Oh, yes,
this
does.
Is Jim Carrey's only Disney film. He was allegedly invited to play Buzz Lightyear. Tim Allen comes up again.
Huh?
Oh. And Jim Carrey declined the role of Buzz Lightyear, apparently, and then did the voice. Scrooge is the same design. So this design of Scrooge did appear in the Polar Express. Apparently, and I don't remember this, but there was like a Scrooge marionette in the Polar Express. And Scrooge is the same design. Scrooge in this movie is supposed to be 57 years old. And I just...
Wow. In what world?
Jenna, isn't that the most shocking thing you've ever heard?
Yes. And Colin Firth plays the other guy.
Oh, yeah,
Not Cratchit, but he's... Colin Firth is 2 years older than him, and he plays his nephew.
Do you think he looks at all 57? Like, 57 is so young now.
90s,
and so
at least.
I pulled some people who are 57.
Yeah.
To give us... So I'm talking Scrooge, not Jim Carrey, but Scrooge in this movie is supposed to be 57. And Patrick Dempsey... is 57 and are real. Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller, Kyle Chandler, Halle Berry, and Selma Hayek. Now, the Scrooge design, that's not 57. Okay, wait, what else do I have? I think I have some other... he is basically... This isn't actually a fact, but I am taking it as fact because Jim Carrey's basically playing Count Olaf, which he played in the Lemony Snicket movie.
Oh, yeah.
Lemony Snicket, I am saying that right.
That's exactly what it is.
And then... I think I mentioned the character design. Oh, the other little tidbit I want to do is that we mentioned Tom Hanks in the Polar Express. Tom Hanks is doing another movie with Robert Zemeckis, despite the fact that he's done a bunch of these that are horrifying to look at, like the Polar Express.
Yeah.
And the new Pinocchio, which I watched and it was terrible. But he is doing another movie with the Robert Zemeckis and Robin Wright, who was in This Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And they are using artificial intelligence technology called Metaphysic Live to face swap and de-age the actors in real time as they perform. So they're using the same similar kind of motion capture for an upcoming film, but now they're using AI or something. And I feel like nobody's talking about this.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's going to take away a lot of opportunities for young actors if all the old actors are just being de-aged. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, or just
it's so
not.
Weird.
It's weird. It's
Did
weird.
Did you see the Indiana Jones?
No.
The new one, they de-age Harrison Ford, and I find it distracting. Because also, not only I don't think it's perfect technology, because it still sort of lags and stuff when you watch the de-age version of him, but then also there's that weird feeling where it's like, I know that he's not that age, and he moves like an 80-year-old man, because that's how old he is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have him looking younger, but he sounds and moves older. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
It's weird. It's bizarre. It's a weird trend right now. It's a slippery slope.
Right. But wait, did you hear that fact about, so the marionette version of Scrooge was in the Polar Express. So he's basically designed this ugly ass version of Scrooge, and then it was approved.
Easter egged it. Yeah. Into that.
How does it keep getting approved?
Someone is approving it.
Like, what does Robert Zemeckis have on the Disney Corporation that he just keeps getting these chances to make these ugly movies?
I want to do a wellness check and be like, you're not allowed to make movies that look like this anymore.
Yeah,
we're
like,
done.
Stop
we cannot.
Him. Stop it.
The answer's no.
Stop it.
Stop it, Zemeckis.
It's enough, Jenna. It's enough. And I feel like nobody is talking about how Robert Zemeckis just keeps doing these things.
Yeah. And also he ripped off, he like beheaded Lumiere. You know, remember like the ghost of whatever? One of the ghosts was that flame man with a floating head.
That floating
head
shapeshift. Ghost in A Christmas Carol.
So creepy.
So creepy.
I don't.
There were so many creepy moments.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like it was all so spooky.
Yes.
And not only ugly, but even the dialogue was making me uncomfortable. I don't know.
Because it had no real through line. Like, we know in general what's going on with the ghosts. Like, we understand, you know, canonically that this is going to happen. There's going to be ghosts coming to visit. The ghost of Christmas Present was just Jesus. Remember? Yeah. Like that Viking looking guy on top of the tree.
Jim is playing all of them. Yeah. Yeah. One. He's the one on the.
On top of the tree.
On top of the food and whatever. Tree of food. Or
which
whatever.
I was like, yeah. I don't remember that being in the book that he's supposed to be Jesus. I think they just decided. He was like speaking in parables.
I think I blacked out during that part.
That makes sense.
Because like, you're explaining it and I remember the visual, but I think I was just maybe so taken aback by the visual that I just wasn't even processing what he was saying.
Yeah. Because I kind of like the old school idea that it's more of like a ghost that shows up instead of like poor man's Lumiere and then our risen Lord. And like the Jesus ghost of Christmas present.
Did they say it was Jesus or something?
No, but he was like speaking in ways that like if you grew up like... He was like biblical Catholic stuff. Religion, he was like, yeah. I am the, like he was like speaking like Bible phrases.
See, I don't even.
And then he makes Jim Carrey, he makes Scrooge take his robe sash.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
like and then leads him on the leash, like drags him through out of the sky. I was like, what
the whole thing is
happening? Like it's Jesus
spooky.
On a leash.
It really should. Ugh. This is like a Halloween film.
Yes.
Actually,
yeah.
We should have covered this for Halloween.
You're right.
It's Halloween.
Yeah.
It even opened, I think, with like a death certificate and a corpse. And I was like, okay, that's Lights Up should not be a corpse in a Disney animated film.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Scrooge is like taking the coins off of a dead guy's eyes. Cause you know, like there's that lore that you've put coins over their eyes, which again is just like, I think stolen from like ancient Roman or Greek or something. And then he takes the
coins.
We're
not factual here. We're just like ancient Roman.
Yeah, ancient Roman stuff. And then like that's how we meet him. Yeah, and we don't even know who the corpse is. I don't remember that being in any of the other movies.
It was Uncanny Valley, Jenna. Uncanny Valley. Did you ever see Spirited? Did we talk? I think we might have talked about this last season. I loved Spirited. It's Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. It came out last season. It's also sort of like a version of A Christmas Carol, but they have a song in there called Good Afternoon. And that must be a famous Dickens line from the book because I noticed Good Afternoon. Scrooge said that to someone like good afternoon and it was like an insult and I was like, oh, that must be from the original text.
Yeah.
But see, I would encourage everyone, if you're interested in A Christmas Carol, that movie was darker, but also it was the musical.
Yeah.
And so you had Will Ferrell singing music, but visually it was like a little darker and it seemed like it went on the source material maybe a little more than
this.
I don't know.
Which took liberties.
But at a certain point, I just also think we need to fucking stop with the Christmas Carol movies.
Yeah.
Like we've had enough now.
Mm-hmm. Like more original stuff. Like we get it.
I know we get it.
You know? And I don't know what it's... I mean, Divas was great because it was a fresh spin and they just need to do fresh spins on stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Fresh... Or if like you're going totally to. Out of the box. Or yeah, do a full Halloween version of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Which, there was an episode of Roseanne that did that, but...
Amazing.
It's neither here nor there. Yeah, I just... And the thing with this one too, and going back to like the original source material... I thought it was visually, outside of all of the characters' designs, it was okay looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like the snow and the buildings look okay. Like I wasn't offended. Like there was a couple moments where I saw snow fall and some wreaths on door. I was like, oh, okay, it looks cozy.
Or a fireplace.
A fireplace.
That was fine.
But then anytime a character, a human character, I don't even think I should call them human.
No.
But anytime one of those creepy ass eyes were on the screen, I was like, get them out of here.
Yeah. Cause the eyeballs didn't move. That's what's missing with his technology. Like, remember when Scrooge was really tiny and he's down like in the carpet and the fire's lit. And then I think it's Tiny Tim's family and they just have dead eyes and it's so chilling.
Yeah.
I was like, if I was a child, I would be terrified of this
terrified.
Movie.
I literally will have nightmares the rest of my life.
I had the lights on and the door open. I opened my patio.
Yeah. You know
what? I was like, I need sounds.
What stuck with me was like just, I think this might have happened at the beginning, but like all the shots of Scrooge just like lurking with a candle.
Yes. Yes.
57 year old Scrooge lurking with a candle. I mean, they drew him 87.
Oh, yeah.
They drew him 87.
Yeah.
Like he is not a 57 year old man.
Yeah.
Just lurking with that fucking candle. Just, he's always like so shadowy. And I did sort of side with Scrooge at the beginning when they were trying to get him to donate to charity. And he's like, I'll do the ones I want.
Yeah.
And I sort of sided with him then because it's like, you can't donate to every charity.
You can't. No.
He picked the ones he wanted to do. I don't know what they were.
Yeah. Himself.
But I was like defending him at the beginning. I was like, let him donate to whatever fuck he wants to donate to.
Yeah. I agree. It's good to like have a cause.
There's this idea now. This is like a larger conversation, but there is this idea that it's like anytime something happens, you just can't spotlight everything. On social media, you know, that happens where it's like every cause. And I think there's more impact when people kind of pick a couple causes than try to amplify a million different causes, right?
And dilute it. Sense? Yeah.
Yeah. Not that everything couldn't help. Where, I did have a question for you that I want to throw out there. Where would your ghost of Christmas past take you? Does that make sense?
Oh, like a time in my life where I have to go back and like face the music.
Yeah. And like a, and like a turning point or like a, or an important thing, like a important moment for you to go back to and realize that like, this is where your Christmas has changed forever. And this is where you became a grump.
Oh, I know.
What?
Okay, fourth grade, 1994. I, at the time, believed in Santa.
Sure.
And on my wish list was moon shoes.
And it was like those toy shoes.
Yeah, those ones you like strap them in and like you could run around and bounce. And I decided to go poking around my parents' room and I looked under their bed and I saw the box with the moon shoes and my heart broke. Like I broke my own heart because I went looking for it. They got me the moon shoes. But then on Christmas morning, I had to... They were from Santa. And I was like, oh my gosh, my parents are Santa. Right. But then to be honest, I used them one time, which is so sad because those were really cool. I would go back to that moment and not go looking.
Oh, interesting.
And just be surprised.
Those moon shoes, I think ultimately ended up becoming a dangerous toy for kids or something. I think they stopped making them or something.
Yeah, I think as kids, you would like snap your leg in half or like fly into a tree. You know what I mean? Like,
there were no rules back then.
There were no rules. Yeah.
Play with this or don't.
Yeah. That's a wonderful question. Same to you. Where would your ghost take you?
Okay, so I was thinking about this and there was a Christmas play in first grade where my mom had missed my play. I was supposed to start the play. I was like the angel narrator of this Christmas play and I was supposed to start it, but my mom had gotten in a fender bender on her way there. So I didn't start. So then the play ended up going on. Like it started without me because I was like crying in front of the whole, class. And this was Catholic grade school. So it was like in front of the whole fucking congregation basically. But, so the teacher was like, we have to start. So then they just had to start and I went in the hallway and, so I feel like that was just such a memorable Christmas. And my mom felt so bad. And I write about it a little in my Christmas book.
But yeah.
I feel like it was sort of like that weird kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you really needed her. Because did she show up late?
Yeah, she got there really late. Okay. And she to this day, she always talks about it. She's like, I tried to tell the person there was no damage on the car. She's like, just let me go. Like no one else in my family could make it to the play.
Oh,
so she was the only one who was like going to be able to make it. And then, yeah. And at first grade, it's like, I didn't have the wherewithal to understand like something could have happened, you know, especially that age, you think your parents are invincible.
Oh yeah.
So like, it wasn't even my thought process, but
something out of her control could happen. Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Isn't that funny that were you like in an angel costume?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's pictures in my book of it. There's pictures. Yay. As of this recording, you haven't read it yet, but you're gonna
I have it with me.
Spoiler alert, we do record these episodes a little early. Yeah.
The year is 2021.
Yeah, we're recording this in 21. No, it is 2023.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. There is a lot of flying through the air.
Yeah.
You mentioned that yellow headless ghost. That was like an IMAX scene when he was flying through the air with that yellow.
Oh.
And they were just relying on too many tricks. It's like everything was for the 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Like I was watching fucking Captain EO at Disneyland. Like, why are we doing these kinds of things?
Yeah. And there was one moment, I think it was a Ghost of Christmas Past. Yeah, like their old boss when they were younger. And they're like, oh, there's Dick Wickens. And I'm like, I've never heard of a character named Dick Wickens. And Wickens. I rerounded. I was like, I'm sorry, did they just... And then this old man, their old boss... Back when Scrooge was like coming up, he starts doing front handsprings down the side of a barn. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? No. This is not necessary for this man. And Dick Wickens.
Dick Wickens needs to either pull it together or let Dick Wickens just be like fully cartoon. Like, you know, like if that's the case, like let's see an anvil fall on his fucking head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like this. That's where I'm so unsettled. Like I either need, my brain can't process either. It can only process either Looney Tunes or real life.
Yes.
Like it, there's not an in between. So I need the characters to either be fully Looney Tunes.
Yes.
Where they're getting flattened like a pancake and then propping back up.
And the only thing that worked in is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That's the only Zemeckis movie to ever do it.
Obviously Zemeckis knows what to do. So fucking take that blueprint of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, a classic, iconic film. Like just do that, Zemeckis. What are you doing with this Christmas Carol bullshit?
Yeah.
It makes me so mad. I get so mad about
it. I want to find, like, where is the computer that he uses to generate this? I want to blow it up.
I know.
I'm like, show me the desktop that makes this shit.
Right. There was one scene, I don't know if you caught this, when I think it was Jacob Marley's, like, mouth comes unhinged. Like, the jaw of the ghost comes completely unhinged, and there's like a long pause and all these, I think Scrooge was quivering his lip because he was scared of this person. And I'm like, that's not a holiday film. And I'm sorry if that's from the source material. I get it. But also it's like, this is a Disney film.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
And who's watching? Like, I don't understand too. And I know people are going to come for us in the comments who might watch this every year. But, like, what is happening that you're watching this version of A Christmas Carol every year? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on with
you? In your own life.
And because there are so many other versions of it.
Yeah. It's disturbing.
Was that mean of me?
No. That's not. Okay. I mean, when you have Muppets Christmas Carol,
to be honest.
Yeah, we do.
We have to be honest.
And
we come on this microphone every holiday season, and what we say is not necessarily popular.
No, it's not. But
and normally, when we try to sit down, I always try to say, like, okay, let's look at it. Let's play Devil's Advocate, Angel and Devil, because I know people love these movies.
Yeah,
so we do want to celebrate your love of these.
Mm-hmm,
but when it's something like this, I'm sorry, Jenna, I cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot find the angel.
If you, you'd have to have really, like, bad vision, you know, or like botched LASIK to like this visual.
I should read some of our text messages from when we were watching the film because I feel like it was funny.
There was also that moment. Okay, so I feel like he ripped off the ringwraiths also. You know, when the horse-drawn carriage, those black horses were chasing Scrooge around the alleys and whatever, that reminded me so much of Lord of the Rings. And then I looked it up and he is tight with Peter Jackson. And I'm like, oh, did you just ask your BFF Peter Jackson? Like, hey, I want to steal that from you.
Yeah.
But the anime, it looked so bad, like visually. I don't know. I also didn't remember a horse chase happening in the original.
The horse chase was crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It reminded me, Disney actually did a scary horse race in Frozen 2.
Oh, yeah.
That frightened me. And I was just thinking, they need to cool it with the horses. Because I actually think that might be a recurring, you know how you get scared of, like, I'm scared of rats and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, now I think I might be scared of, like, horses. Because they were demon horses.
Yeah.
Jenna, let me read through some of our text messages.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, you sent me a picture of Robert Zemeckis and you commented on his plug job.
They only did the front of his hair plugs.
I shouldn't read these texts. And then I wrote, he made three movies with the same ugly animation style. They just kept giving him money to do it. And you said, he needs to be stopped and held accountable.
He does need to be held accountable, right?
Yes, and I said, absolutely, and we will be the ones to do it. And then you said, let's shift the strike's focus to specifically be against Zemeckis' animation styles.
I stand by that. I stand by that.
Because we're recording this, the strikes are still going on. Hopefully they've been worked out as people are listening to this. But then you also said, this is a movie people should watch on mute. And I wrote, and with their eyes closed. And then you wrote, in another room. And then I wrote, just nap instead.
Just nap instead. Exactly. I know. It was so, to be real, I was like doing laundry during it. I made coffee. I made an omelet. I just like found reasons to walk away from the screen.
I took a different approach. Yeah. I did it in like 20 minute increments. It did feel like the longest movie I've ever watched. And I think like I looked at the running time, it was 1:30 or something. Like it was not
3 hours.
It really did. And I kept pausing it because I would literally get to the point on the couch and this was one where I did watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not lying. I took these extensive notes, but I did watch it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was like 10 minutes would go by and I'd be like, whoo, I just watched a large chunk of that. Like,
yeah.
And then I'd look and I'd see it was only 10 minutes that I'd watched. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, this is moving at a snail's pace.
Yes. And it really is.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I think also what was disturbing was the, remember his friend group, or no, it was Colin Firth's character, that fancy holiday party they're having, and they're playing,
Fozzie.
What was like, not charades, but they're like, okay, yeah, guess who I'm thinking of, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like 20 questions. And the answer's like, oh, is it an ass? And he's like, yes and no. And it's like, Uncle Scrooge. So he watches them playing this game, talking shit behind his back. And then after he becomes good, I think he actually becomes scarier. Remember when he's scarier when he's nice. Cause like,
oh yeah,
when he's like, hey, yeah, go get that turkey. Yeah. I'll give you a shilling. I was like, ugh.
Jenna, there was one shot of the earlier in the film when I think it was the Tiny Tim scene, which was already so jarring to see them kids.
Ugh.
Like, cause we're pretty much the first half of the film only seeing adults in this style of animation. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, like we're going to show you kids in this animation style. And that was that scene we talked a little bit earlier, but there was a shot of a turkey on the table and it had stuffing coming out of its ass. And I've never seen an animal carcass look that ugly on screen. Like it was literally, it looked like the turkey was like shitting on the table. And I know that's how you stuff a bird. Like I get it, but it was so unappealing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we can't even get the food to look normal on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what is going on?
Oh, I know. I don't know if I told you this. I used to have a job at this commercial agency that did all food commercials in New York. And they did one for, I want to say it was like Boston Market or something like that.
Which are closing now, which is a big,
yeah. That's so sad.
I've been meaning to get to one, but yeah.
Their mashed potatoes are good, but, so they would, do all these tricks to make food look good on camera. And what they do with rotisserie chickens, they use paint thinner. So that it looks like extra crispy on the outside, but kind of glisteny. And they couldn't even do that in this movie.
Should have gotten some fucking paint thinner.
Exactly. And just like do a gloss over it.
We're being so mean to Robert Zemeckis. He's never going to hire us.
I know.
I love that. I mean, we're being hard on him because we have to hold him accountable.
We have to.
But he's done some brilliant work.
And this movie lost a lot of money. And like, I know that, you know, in the industry, if we're going to be making movies, let's make good movies, right? Is that too much?
And guess what, Jenna? Ask? You know what? A woman or a gay man director would not get a million chances to fail with a certain type of technology or lose the studio $57 million and then just keep getting more $100 million movies greenlit.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't happen. So the fact that Zemeckis, we need to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
He's done brilliant work in the past.
But yeah. Stick to live action.
There was that Fezziwig scene. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I keep thinking Fozziwig because of the Muppet version. Yeah. But Scrooge sees two people slow dancing and it's supposed to be like this romantic, heartfelt moment. Mm-hmm. But it looked like I've never watched these, but the direct-to-DVD Barbie movies?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, yes, I've seen the commercials where it's like those ugly Barbie animations are dancing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we both love the new Barbie movie, but this is like those direct-to-DVD animated ones. That's 1D, what it looked like. Yeah. I'm like, that's the same quality. And yet that one was made for like $15. Mm-hmm. And it was just using a PS2.
Yeah.
Like it was just
an old PS2.
And yet it looks the same as this... 300, how much did I say it was? What was the budget on this? It was a high-ass budget.
Yeah.
But it's like, you shouldn't look like a direct-to-DVD Barbie movie.
No. Yeah. And I really was disturbing at the end when he becomes nice. Because I feel like everything he just went through in that hour and a half, if it took all of that, you are a shitty person. I think that's also a big takeaway. Like, why don't you just not be a bad person? But then at the end when he becomes nice... I think it's more unnerving because, you know, of how he looks. Like he goes to the dinner and is like, finds them playing that game again, but then surprises Colin Firth. And he's like, oh yeah, come on in. And then he's like, next year we'll have it at my house. And I'm like, oh geez. Like you don't have enough chairs in your house for all these people.
Yeah.
And also, you're like a mean guy.
And honestly, I hate to say it, Jenna, but he should take that money instead of donate it to the charity. He needs to go to the surgeon's office or something, get some Botox, yes, some filler or something.
Yeah.
Because if that's a 57-year-old man, that's where he should be spending that money.
Yeah. Oh, and the teeth were really gross. Did you see his teeth? Yeah. They were like a dinosaur's teeth. Like they're like covered in plaque and like decaying. I'm like, that's also an odd choice.
Do you think Jim Carrey saw some of the film beforehand?
Oh gosh, I know. Like what came first, right? Yeah. I don't know.
And also what was the, like Jim Carrey doesn't do a ton of movies.
Yeah.
Especially anymore. But even around 2009, 2008, he had not gone into retirement, but he wasn't doing the same amount of output that he was. So mm-hmm. I feel like he had to have been really passionate about doing this movie because mm-hmm. he was so rich at that time and didn't have to do everything. And he already had The Grinch. So it's like, Grinch. Why even try this?
I know.
It seems, I don't know.
It seems odd.
But I do actually think he's really smart. Him and Tim Allen and all those people that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode who have done multiple Christmas movies, I think they are playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers, or the other actors are playing checkers, because being in a holiday movie gives you that repeatability. So even these movies are shit. It's like Freeform is still airing this piece of garbage with the demon horses. Mm-hmm. And it's airing every year and they're on TV every year. So maybe Jim is smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah.
So there you go. Young Scrooge, though, was even uglier, I thought, than the adult Scrooge, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you might have texted me this about he was basically doing like a Shrek impression for one of the characters.
Yeah.
I forget which one it was, but he was doing a Shrek.
Yeah, he was doing a Shrek impression. And I was like, wait, hold on. What's happening? Because Shrek was already very much in the zeitgeist also. You know,
right. Yeah. Which they need I think they're rebooting Shrek soon.
Oh,
which is absolutely necessary.
I love Shrek. Necessary.
We mentioned IMAX. There was this scene where Scrooge shrinks and rides around on like these ice cubes, which was very clearly made for IMAX. Mm-hmm. But also, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's that one scene where everyone, like, they talk. Oh, we. Talks trash about people in poverty. He's like, that's the worst thing. I would never want to be in poverty. And then shows. Everyone entertains themselves by standing up and riding down a slushy hill. Like that's how you get your jollies. And I was like, okay, this is also made up. I don't remember that from the original.
Wait, I'm looking at my notes and I mixed up some of my pages here. So I just have Samantha on sex swing because that's from a Sex and the City recap I did.
I love Samantha so
much. But I would have loved it if Samantha Jones
from
Sex and the City just swang on a sex swing in this Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of, even at the end, they showed carolers, and there was sort of like a prettiness at the end. Like after the next morning when he wakes up, we see the snowy street, and there was like a wreath, and we saw carolers, and the carolers were so fucking ugly looking, but just hearing the caroling, I was like, oh, this is kind of like nice. And I wanted it to just end, but then it kept going on.
Yeah. A wassailing we go.
Yeah. It was like, we could have just ended with the pretty street and the snow, but instead we had to go take him to dinner and then...
Oh. Do you think Scrooge is a virgin? No, because he had that lady, remember, that he was going to marry?
I'm sure he's fucked a couple times.
Because that actually, she was the only good-looking one in the whole thing, was that blonde lady that during Christmas past, I think, didn't he choose like some bank job in the city over being with her? Because she wasn't from like a wealthy family. But I remember being like, okay, Scrooge, this is where you went wrong. She seems cool. I don't know. But she was actually not bad to look at,
not
cartoon-wise.
But okay, Jenna, I pose this question to you.
Yeah.
Was she not bad to look at, or was she just less ugly, less aggressive to the naked eye than other characters?
Yeah, having something to look away from past Scrooge was better.
Who was the ugliest or scariest to you in this film?
Oh, I would say either one of the children in Tiny Tim's family, or I really didn't like the... Ghost of Christmas Present, the Viking Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
With a torch. He was very, very creepy.
Yeah. It seemed like that brought up a lot of like religion trauma from your childhood as well.
It did. And they'd have Lumiere there, and then Lumiere's face would shapeshift. You see, like different babies and faces would show up in his head. I was like, why?
And even something like that, I don't quite understand, because that's not being recreated to look like a real human. It's looking like a weird ghost.
Yeah.
So it's like, you could do fun stuff with the face. So why are we making it look so ugly?
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, back to your point about there's no rules to this. And I think that's why it's hard to dial in. Like, if you watch Shrek, you understand the rules of this world. Okay, these are the rules of this. But this movie had no rules. And I think that's why it felt so chaotic.
Yeah.
Like, you could just add that flame in post. They're like, the movie's done. But they're like, oh, add a flame. And they're like, oh, right.
And do you wonder, I just had a train of thought.
I had a question for you too. Okay. Yeah. So if you like thinking about all the different, worlds, whether it's like Looney Tunes, Mickey, whatever, if you were going to do a Christmas Carol remake, who would you want to be the star? Like,
wow.
TMNT.
Well,
you know?
I would love a remake. I think they might have even done something like this for Lifetime or something, but like a remake of the Vanessa Williams Divas Christmas Carol, or, you know, putting divas. But ultimately, this is what I wanted to say. Ultimately, I think the problem with this tale is that we have seen it so many times, and I think that might have attributed to why this movie felt so fucking long, because it's like, we know the exact beats. So even though it's being presented, and so I sort of, my thought is that Robert Zemeckis did that Beowulf movie, which I think was pretty, based on the source material, is pretty close or whatever. And so I would imagine maybe schools and kids, instead of reading the book, they were like, oh, I'll just watch this movie, even though it was so ugly to look at it, as well as these other movies he's done. But so I wonder if like that was the idea behind The Christmas Carol, is like to do a very faithful adaptation of the book so that like people in school and stuff could watch it. Ultimately, again, I just go back to like, they should have just done it live action then.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
But see, live action wouldn't have worked either, because it's like, we've seen it. It's been done in live action so many times. So I don't know if there is even any other thing to attempt it, because you mentioned Looney Tunes, and I know they've done their version. Mm-hmm. Flintstones has a version I remember when I was a kid. Like, there's been every sort of character has done The Christmas Carol, and I'm just not as interested in it because I've seen it, the beats so much, and I know exactly, like, Scrooge is going to wake up the next day, and we're going to have to deal with this, the present, past, and future. And it's like, all those beats, we know too much.
Yeah.
So enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally. And the Grim Reaper showing up a lot in this. Remember, like, he would like see him in the shadows, and then he gets really scary at the end when they're at the grave, you know, at the tombstone or whatever, and he's like, sponge out my name. And then like, he doesn't, he drops him in the grave. I was like, this is scary.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's a, Father Death in Puss in Boots 2, and it's like a wolf, and it's sort of like a scary part. He always shows up and he's like, it's scary, but it's just making me think that that going back to Shrek, maybe we need to do a Shrek Christmas Carol. You know?
Yes. With maybe alternate endings.
Or like Puss in Boots is visited by all them ghosts. Yeah.
And we need to go back and see the 9 lives, not just 3.
But I don't even know if any of them could succeed. Although I did mention Spirited, and that was an Apple movie, and I think it did really well. And I did love it, but that was such a different take.
I loved that movie. Actually, Spirit, I did see that.
With Will Ferrell. I think we talked
about it. Yeah, we did. Okay.
Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. We didn't cover it on the show, but I think we might have talked about it. But it's so maybe I'm being, maybe I am.
Maybe they should just wait. I think they can just wait another 20 or 30 years. I think it's weird just to pump them out back to back.
Yeah.
You know, let's wait a while. Do like Home Improvement, Other Christmas stuff. Carol. Let's NSYNC Christmas Carol.
Let's do NSYNC. There should be an NSYNC Christmas
Carol. There should be. That would be the best musical on the planet.
Jenna, any other final thoughts about The Christmas Carol? I talked about the bird looking like a shit, piece of shit. The cooked bird.
Yeah.
We talked about the scary demon horses. It ends with I don't know.
Yeah.
I just hated this movie. I hate it. And we could go on and on about how we hate it, but I feel like we're just spending time talking about how we hate it. And it was just real. And I blame you for all of it.
Because I picked it. I was like, Danny, why don't we cover this? I've never seen it.
I'm never letting you choose a movie.
Don't let me choose. I'm done. I'm not allowed to. I revoke my privileges.
But what is it about us? So, like, why are we covering so many Victorian kind of scary things? Maybe we need it.
Next year is going to be so fluffy after this.
And hopefully, listeners, we're going to spread them out. So maybe by the time listeners listen to this episode, they'll have other fluffier things.
Cleanse your eyeballs with something good.
I do always feel bad, Jenna. I really do. I want to just reiterate that, because I feel bad. I don't want, because these movies are part of people's traditions, like I feel dragging them, bad dragging them. But also, we have to be honest, and it's truly, this is egregious. for film, for cinema, for society as a whole that this was made. And maybe it deserved to lose $50 to $70 million for the company. I do feel bad that that man got let go. But at a certain point,
you can't do your job. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
This is maybe not a good business model to do a movie like this.
Yeah, I think that's what it is too.
Jenna, what's your favorite brand of peanut butter?
Oh, is it like Marathon or something like that?
Marathon peanut butter?
Is that what it is? Oh, no, Justin's is the good one.
Oh,
Justin's. I like Justin's. Okay. What about you?
I think I'm a Skippy.
Nice.
Skippy or Skiffy? Yeah, Skippy. Jeff. There's I'm thinking of Jeff Jif. And Skippy. No, I think, I don't know, I guess I grew up on Jeff.
Yeah, we grew up on Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wrote that down in my notes because I wanted to ask you. Mm. I was thinking about like brand loyalty. Like, is there any sort of like brand that you're loyal? Like, for instance, I guess the best example of this is like Heinz ketchup to me. I don't buy other brands of ketchup, right? Like it's Heinz.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can do different types of Heinz, but I'm not buying another brand of ketchup.
I'm like that with orange juice. A Simply, like the Simply brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Simply and their lemonade.
Oh, interesting.
I love those. Yeah. I like their OJ.
Yeah. You know, I recently got brand loyal to a chocolate company called, this is not an ad, by the way, but a chocolate brand called Tony's Chocolate Tony.
Mm.
It makes me feel like Willy Wonka.
Oh, their packaging looks like Willy Wonka.
When I eat a Tony's, I think it's Tony's Chocolate Tony. I don't know if you know if I'm saying that right, but they have these big, thick chocolate bars. Yeah. It's good quality chocolate. They have different flavors and it comes wrapped in foil. And then like a thick construction paper around the foil.
Like beautiful colors.
Beautiful colors. Yeah. And it feels like very like you're eating a high-end candy bar.
Yeah.
So I was eating a Tony's while I was watching this. And so that was what made me think of peanut butter because they don't have a peanut butter one. They need to do a peanut butter one.
Mm.
But I was like, oh, I think I'm brand loyal now for this type of chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's not very rare that I'm brand loyal to you know, especially like a chocolate brand.
Yeah.
But all the other Hershey's is shit now.
Yeah. I was eating a peanut butter ice cream bar covered in chocolate while I was watching this. That's wild. Oh, how cool.
Well, I need Tony's to do like a chocolate cover, a peanut butter chocolate.
Yeah. If anyone has any connects to Tony's.
Tony's. We love Tony's.
We love Tony's.
And I really do feel brand loyal to them now.
Anyway, I love that.
That has nothing to do with Christmas Carol.
Did I tell you, speaking of NSYNC Christmas album, still one of the best albums of all time.
Best of all time.
Yeah. I had my first kiss to it in high school.
Oh my God. Wait, I think we talked about this on one of the episodes.
But they're back. NSYNC is back. They never left, but they did.
I know. We love them. Jenna, before I let you go, do you have any other final thoughts about A Christmas Carol? I'm kind of glad that we did this and we got it out of the way so we never have to discuss this Unhinged movie again.
Yes, ever. I will never watch this again. And if I ever meet Robert Zemeckis, I'm going to be like, hey.
He will pay for his crimes.
Against wellness humanity. Check. Yeah, I need you to just like... stop. I need you to just stop making these. I think Polar Express is very scary.
Yeah.
But this is up there with that.
I can't even wrap my head around the idea of like him doing Polar Express, which I guess made money and whatever, but him doing that and then being like, oh yeah, let's use that same technology again. I'd be like, is no one in the room? Is no one in the room during that conversation? Cause, assistant, I don't care who's in the room. A male person delivering mail, anyone who's in the vicinity of that meeting that hears that they're going to let Robert Zemeckis do that same Polar Express technology should say, hold up a sec. It looked like shit.
Yeah.
It looked like shit. Why are we doing that again?
Yeah.
It's ugly as fuck.
It's ugly as fuck.
It's not so, Christmassy.
Yeah. And the close-ups of the faces, and I read some quote how he's like, he likes doing it because he loves the close-up. And I'm like, no, I don't need to see like a porous acne ridden screw. I don't know. It was so disturbing.
He's portraying Scrooge as 57 years old. So he's just like adding wrinkles and stuff because no 57 year old should look like that Scrooge in this film.
And
if you do, like you need to start using moisturizer or something. Like couldn't they have given Scrooge some Revitalift or something?
Yeah. And also Colin Firth is attractive. So it's
so I find Jim Carrey very attractive.
Yes, he is.
Discussed this. I had a big crush on Jim Carrey and I love Jim Carrey.
Yes. Oh, me too. And it looked nothing like him. I think that's what's so weird. Yeah. Like the cartoon didn't even look like him.
There was one of the ghosts looked like him a lot.
Oh,
maybe it was the Jesus ghost. One of them looked like his face a lot.
Jesus. Maybe it was Jesus.
The one who were triggered
Viking
by.
Jesus. I was so triggered by Viking Jesus on top of the tree. I was like, whoa.
I not remember them speaking in Bible verses? They do that. I think here's the reason I'm going to attribute is that sometimes on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, one of these ones, I know you don't watch it, but they do sometimes randomly have the women doing like Bible verse voiceovers when they want to be dramatic. So to like open up a scene, or this beginning of this past season, it was like they open with voiceover of all the women reading like from Bible.
Yeah.
And then they show close-ups of them like walking in the snow. So it's like real dramatic. But I'm not even fazed by it anymore. So sometimes I have to think like, oh, they're just literally reading from the Bible.
Scripture.
And it's like they're making that look like... they're mixing that with like reality
the drama.
Show programming.
That's
which is
what this
so
was.
Funny.
Are they all Mormon on that show?
Not all of them. No, it's
okay.
like a mix.
But okay.
It's a big, it That's... looms large over that city where mm-hmm. it's like they're talking about it, or they're talking about leaving the Mormon religion, or their kids are doing mission yeah. trips and stuff. So, and I'm not really, I did see Book of Mormon.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. Do you ever feel like you, and this is probably what happens with A Christmas Carol, but sometimes it's like, I will breathe something in and then it just immediately goes out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw Book of Mormon, but like, I don't know much about, and I watched The House of Salt Lake City and they talk about Mormonism every week on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I still feel like I don't know much about it. I'm like, maybe I need to pay better attention.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, the brain only has so much room.
So only has so much room.
Certain things.
And
like
there's no room
keeping,
for biking Jesus.
Right. Christmas Carol's going right out of the brain.
Right out of the brain.
Jim Carrey is gone already. These notes are going in the fire.
Yes.
And we are forgetting this even ever happened.
Yes. I'm fine with that.
Hear
yeah.
me,
this will not be a, yeah.
Hear us, listeners. We're done.
We're done.
We're leaving this in the past.
Yes.
And we encourage you all to leave it in the past with us.
I don't think I've ever read the original Charles Dickens story.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe in school we had to at some
yeah.
point, but I don't remember it either.
Yeah.
But good for Charles Dickens. Like, how much money does that estate? Well, no,
oh,
it's
yeah.
public property, I guess.
The Dickens fam.
But he deserves, that family deserves money because they keep redoing this
yeah.
one fucking book that they have.
Yeah.
Just keep on making it.
We need more other, we just need more stories.
Yeah, just, we need more stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least, I would prefer to see women going through this, like the Divas Christmas Carol or something. Like,
yeah.
we've seen enough men deal with this, like enough.
Yeah.
Or some sort of, like I mentioned, Puss in Boots. Let's see Puss
yeah.
go through this.
I'd be into that. Yeah.
Jenna, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Insta at jenna.barister.
And you can find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram. And then our Instagram account is called at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on mm-hmm. Instagram. Go check out all of our updates there. We'll be giving you all the updates throughout the holiday season. But this was fun.
This was so great.
And apologies to the listeners who might like this movie, but you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Happy holidays, though.
And we love you. Merry Christmas.
We love you. Merry Christmas.
We'll be right back. like to look 5 years younger. In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.